many desires and aspirations. And a great deal of time and contemplation are given to wishing and hoping, wanting and needing. Now, much of this activity is done aimlessly, moving in and out, trying this and that, with no real thought or conviction regarding what it is we are doing. We may entertain this idea or that idea, not really sure if we want to claim it or not. Now, I think that part of this has to do with our menu of options. Many things, they get our attention. And then we are asked to pick and choose, deciding what to accept or reject, what it is to keep and what to get rid of. But to arrive at this place of conclusion, we are required to give thought, to think deeply about what is important to us. What do we want? Now, when we think, ponder, contemplate, we allow the object of our attention to reveal itself. Now, sometimes it merely takes a glance on our part to make up our mind. You see, we know immediately, this is not for me. Other times we linger over it a little longer, looking at it from all sides, wondering if it feels right. You see, at this point in understanding, we are willing to consider beyond the appearance of what has gotten our attention, taking a moment to determine if it feels right. In our time of wishing and hoping, wanting and needing, we have discovered the value of determining if something feels right or not. Our thought may bring it to our attention, but our feeling nature allows us to claim it. Now, when we claim something, it takes root in us. That is, we take it to a deeper place in awareness to learn more. And according to the degree of its depth, it will be done unto us. We may compare this activity to the sowing of seeds in the soil of the good earth. Jesus used a parable to point out the very same thing. If a seed is planted in the soil that is not prepared to receive it, it will not take root, and there will be no harvest. Now, if the ground is too rocky, it cannot allow the seed to penetrate its surface. If the ground is too shallow, the seed, it is washed away by that first storm. It simply wasn't planted deeply enough to support a harvest. The seed planted in the receptive soil is nurtured in the way necessary for growth. And yes, there will be a harvest. Now, when we scatter our wishing and our hoping, our wants and our needs all over the place, we are sowing to the surface of life, skipping here and there, never really planting anything deeply enough to support a harvest. Which is why time should be devoted to the work of inner being, consulting our feeling nature and listening to what it tells us. Now, some individuals describe this activity as taking place in their heart, in the core of their being. And then they wait for that inner green light, that impulse that urges movement and direction. Having listened in an inward way, the idea begins to take root, and it will be given form in due season. Progress begins with invention and discovery. Now, the inventor, or perhaps the one who discovers. They first notice a need, an empty space that longs to be filled, and they have the desire to fill it. Now, while others may also notice the need, they may not be inclined or motivated to do anything about it. It is clearly not an item on their menu of options, nor is it a task on their to-do list. It is not in their realm of probability, and consequently, they are not stirred to act in some way. And I believe this simply means that it is not theirs to do. If we do not have the desire or the urge or the need to do something, it cannot be forced, and we cannot ask our feeling nature to accept it or to explain it. Now, the inventor, or the one who discovers, that is the one who is stirred in this way and is given the opportunity to work with it. So let's talk about that individual. He noticed a need, a space to be filled, and he took it to that place of inner being. He took it to his feeling nature to see if it felt right, and for clarification and inspiration. And then after much listening and contemplation, he received his inner green light, and he knew it was time to give existence to his idea. Now, a concept or an idea first takes form in mind. The receptive mind is the fertile soil that will nurture it through to visibility. Idea formed in mind. It is first invisible, unmanifested, unseen by the human eye. In its infant stage, the only place that it has reality is in the mind of the one who noticed the need. And so the inventor begins his work. As he works with his idea, and remember, first in that invisible realm of consciousness, he nurtures it and he cares for it. And in due time, it grows and unfolds. And then it begins to move from the inner to the outer. The very last step is the manifested form that will fill the space and meet the need. At that point in time, it is seen, it is given visibility, and yes, the need is met. This is the natural process of completion. So the important thing to notice is that the inventor did his work in the inner recesses of his own being. That's where he began. Only when it had taken root in that invisible realm of creative activity, only then was he able to give life to it, bringing it into material existence. Now, we may not be an inventor, an architect, or even an author. We may not be an artist or a composer. You see, we tend to identify these individuals as the ones who work in the invisible realm of creative activity, drawing their work from the place of inner being, giving visibility to their talents and to their gifts. We may not think of us as being able to really notice needs and empty spaces, and actually think that we have the ability to fill them. But this is not true. Now, we may not be called upon to meet a universal need, but each one of us is given the opportunity to address what we consider to be our wants and our desires. Now, remember, these will be personal and individual. We cannot do the work that is intended for another, but then nor can they do ours either. Whatever our talents, our gifts, whatever they might be, the process we follow will be the same one utilized by the inventor, the architect, or the author. We are very much aware of our hoping and our wishing, our wanting and our desires. Our very first action is to sift through what we are looking at, identifying the fads and the whims of the day, leaving only what has value and meaning for us. Remember, this is personal. It is ours. The activity reveals our true desires, the ones that stir us to move in their direction. These are the ones that belong to us. It is now time to take what we have discovered to that place of inner being, asking for clarification and inspiration. Most of all, does it feel right? We understand the need to work in that fertile soil of receptive awareness, allowing the idea to take root. As we ponder and contemplate, we then rest and wait for that inner green light. Remember the impulse that says, yes, this is yours. It is now time to give it form that will allow for its existence. Let us also understand that the work of inner being, it contains everything necessary to bring the idea through to existence. It is the activity of inner being that actually does the work. While it is true that we have become aware of our wants and our needs, and we have the desire to do something about them, if we are honest, it is also true that we of ourselves are not wise enough to know exactly what that something should be. So again, let us consider that seed that is placed in the ground. The seed that is planted in the fertile soil understands there is life in its being, but it of itself, it's not wise enough to instruct the soil about how it should nurture it and bring it through to visibility. And so the seed, it just rests there, trusting the life in the soil to do its work. And it does so because it understands that the life of its being and the life of the soil, it is the same life. They are one. This is really true for all of life, all of nature. The bird, the animal, they trust the impulse in them to lead and direct, nourishing them in a way that supports their existence. And so, if this is individual, it's now time to make it personal. So when we look around us, and we first discover a menu of empty spaces, we may have the actual desire to fill them. But looking at them, well, at first it may be a little overwhelming. Intuitively, we sense that we are not wise enough to know what to do, which is why we take that first step. The one where we determine what really matters to us, sifting through the superficial, discovering the true desires of our hearts. The desires of the heart, they are the ones that we then take to inner being, asking for clarification and inspiration. Let us not waste our time trying to fix something that does not need to be fixed, or trying to address a need that may simply be the fad or the whim of the day, discovering we don't even want it. We must get serious about where it is we will do our work and how it is we will do it. We are reminded of the great truth, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Longfellow revealed the vital importance of being taught from within when he wrote the following. Let us then labor for an inner stillness, an inward stillness, and an inward healing. That perfect silence where the lips and the heart are still, and we no longer entertain our own imperfect thoughts and vain opinions. But God alone speaks in us, and we wait in singleness of heart that we may know His will. And in the silence of our spirits, that we may do His will and do that only. Now I think that we read these words and we are stirred by the words of comfort and assurance. And yes, we then agree that this is how the work gets done. However, when we first attempt to work in this way, we discover it's not nearly as easy as we thought it would be. You see, for eons of time, our concentration has been on our wants and our desires. We agonized over them, giving power that really did not belong. You see, at that point in time, we had not learned to sift through what we were looking at. So we invited anything and everything into our consciousness, giving it our attention. Contemplate how we could possibly bring it into visibility, not even asking if we wanted it or not. You see, we did not yet understand that the mere acceptance of something to be real allows it to come into existence, mirroring back to us in a way that is compatible with our view. The thing to remember is this. We do our work from a particular place in consciousness, and the emotion that is compatible with that awareness prevails, overshadowing anything else we could possibly consider. This is so true. What I have just described as doing our work in the mental realm of personal acceptance and rejection, and then we used thought as our workshop, and we invented and imagined many states of awareness, ones that were separate and apart from that place of inner being. And that is what we did for a very long time. Before we knew of the work of inner being, we did our work in the realm of human emotion, reacting from a place of misguided thoughts and opinions, decisions made from a consciousness of agitation, anger, or discontent, carry the elements of such awareness. Living in this way, we are the architect of unfortunate circumstances and conditions. We are the inventor of ideas formed in the shadows of confusion and misunderstanding. We are the author of our drama, the composer of inharmony and discordant consequences. Let us not continue down that path of misguided thought, unfortunate circumstances. Again, if we wish to advance in any way, we really do need to make our work personal. What do we really want? Because you see, the idea we hold of us will reflect the way we view ourselves. You see, it all comes back to us and what we accept to be true of us and true of life. Let us understand that the dominant conviction we hold about ourselves, it is the real master of our thoughts, those images and emotions, those reactions and reactions. Our dominant thought of us controls all of those lesser ideas we have of us. Do you see how important it is to know us as that one of inner being? How important it is to have the inner being as the master idea of us? The master is given a name, and it is Christ Jesus. We must ask ourselves, who is my boss? Who is my Lord? Whom do I trust? What are those dominant thoughts that we carry around with us? Do we allow fear to rule in our house of awareness? Or do we allow peace and harmony to rule in our house of consciousness? Whatever we allow to rule our house has dominion over our household. What we entertain in consciousness as reality affects everything else we consider to be true. Our true Lord should be a God of love, or the love of goodness, the law of truth, and beauty. Those are our households. They are our thoughts, our views, and our opinions. Guard them carefully. The Good Shepherd is the one who guards the sheep, those spiritual thoughts that belong to the fold. The Good Shepherd is the one who stands at the door and grants admittance to those whom he calls by name. When we know us as Christ, as the self of inner being, we respond to the one who calls my name. This is my child, in whom I am well pleased. All thoughts, actions, and deeds are subservient to that master that rules in our house. Let it be the Good Shepherd, the God of love. The Bible reminds us that there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Now, to me, this simply means that whatever we hold in consciousness will manifest on the screen of life, coming forth as form, function, experience, and event. Could not be otherwise. As in mind, so in manifestation. As within, so without. But now we can forget about that activity of wishing and hoping, wanting and needing. These are the activities that belong to the individual of human form and not to that child of God. Claim only what is of God. Attention is the key to life. When we give our attention to the power within, we have access to all that is contained in the kingdom. God gave us our gifts and our talents. They're meant to be expressed. So whatever our prayer is, understand that it is God who gave us the desire, and it is creative activity that will bring it into existence. What he has given us to do, he will meet it. This is our lesson. Be still and know that this is so. At this time, we have the opportunity to turn within and give recognition to that creative activity that lives in us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we relax our bodies and close our eyes. In the stillness of the moment, we release our thoughts and the world melts away. This is our private time with God. I am here. Turn to me. I am here. In the place of spiritual being, we listen with the inner ear and we perceive with the eye divine. What is revealed goes beyond the human understanding, but the child of God receives the message in his heart, and all is well. There is within each one of us an infinite presence that loves us and cares for us. Go often to this place of solitude, for therein lies our confidence and our strength. What is hidden will be revealed. With God, all things are possible. The declaration is only believe. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we know we are not alone. God is, and there is none else. Let us go in peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.